Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The case before the D.C. Court of Appeals suggesting, alleging, arguing that former President Trump was immune from consequences when he made decisions about January 6th in his presidency, because presidents are immune to prosecution in the course of their duties as president of the United States. That case was argued before a three-judge panel in the D.C. Court of Appeals, which is the supreme bench, as I understand it, in the federal system. These are very smart, very careful people, all of whom are eligible to be elevated to the Supreme Court at any moment in their lives. The three judges have returned a decision weeks later from the original argument. And Andy McCarthy of the National Review Online, a veteran federal prosecutor, department of the Department of Justice once upon a time, so he has the careful language, helps me to understand how to regard the no that the three-judge panel gives and what comes next. And also, most importantly, the careful strategy developed by the Trump lawyers and those who oppose the Trump lawyers. Both sides are thinking and moving very quickly, and they're doing it in careful language that has a lot of Latin in it. Andy, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. You emphasized timing, but I want to lay down the fundamentals. The three judges have taken some weeks to say, no, former President Trump was not immune. What happens now in that no? It's a simple, straightforward no. What happens now? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, I think equally important to the 57-page unanimous opinion the three-judge panel that you just described issued was a very interesting one-page, fairly short order that they issued in conjunction with the opinion, which I think there's been a lot of misunderstanding about it. The bottom line of it is they have nudged President Trump to take his appeal, which he has vowed to do, to the Supreme Court in an expedited fashion. In other words, they want him to appeal by Monday. And if he does that, what they will do is continue the stay, the suspension, that now exists in the trial court, Judge Tanya Chutkan, who is presiding over the election interference case. So in other words, if Trump appeals by Monday to the Supreme Court, which everyone expects him to do, the court will continue the freeze that's currently in effect, which means Judge Chutkan is not able to act on the case. She's not able to do the weeks and weeks of pretrial litigation work that would be necessary to get this case in shape to go to trial. On the other hand, if Trump does not appeal by Monday to the Supreme Court, then what the court says is it will issue its mandate, which is appellate legalese, for it will transfer the jurisdiction of the case along with its opinion down to Judge Chutkan, who can then proceed with pretrial proceedings.
If I understand correctly, then Judge Chutkan is not now in charge of the case, does not have authority to start the discovery process, to set up the apparatus of a trial that you estimate will take 2 to 3 months. However, the three-judge panel is aware that the Trump attorneys have a plan, have a strategy, and they're trying to in some way mitigate that strategy. What is the thinking on the Trump side? Why is the 12th important? Why is it necessary for the Trump lawyers to avoid Judge Chutkan?
Well, I think, John, what former President Trump is trying to achieve here, obviously, is to push the case beyond Election Day, because his idea is if he wins the election, then he will be running the Justice Department. Everything in the executive branch answers to the president. So if he wins the election, Smith can be fired come January of 2025, and the new Trump Justice Department would dismiss the case. And if the court gave him a hard time about that, which it could, I don't think it legally it would make sense for the court to do that, but it's happened before. If the court did that, Trump would have the power to pardon himself. But one way or the other, the case would never take place if Trump can push it beyond Election Day. So everybody understands that Trump is trying to achieve delay. The misunderstanding I think that people have is they assume that because the appeal, once it was taken to the D.C. Circuit on the immunity question, they assume that because the appeal initially took away Judge Chutkan's jurisdiction to act on the case, that that obtains throughout any method that Trump has to extend the appeal beyond the court's decision that was rendered on Tuesday. And that's simply not a correct reading of what the law says. What the law says is that Trump has 14 days to appeal to the to ask for rehearing in the circuit, and he has 90 days to appeal to the Supreme Court. The law also says, and this is the Federal Rules of Appellate Procedure, that the circuit panel that issued this ruling is in charge of when its mandate issues. So it has the discretion to speed up the issuance of the mandate. That's up to the court. The rule allows it to do that. And it also has the discretion to stay the issuance of the mandate, which would continue the freeze, the suspension of the proceedings in the trial court, if the defendant wants to appeal to the Supreme Court. But here's the important thing, John. It's within the discretion of the court. So a lot of people in the Trump camp are arguing as if Trump has a right to delay this for 90 days and keep it away from Judge Chutkan. And that's not how it works. What has to happen is a defendant who wants to appeal to the Supreme Court usually has to ask the circuit to stay the mandate and suspend proceedings in the district court while the litigant goes to the Supreme Court. It's an act of discretion on the part of the circuit. And here, what the circuit is saying to Trump is not all stick. It's part carrot, right? What the circuit is saying is, we all know that the only way this is ever going to get resolved is if the Supreme Court resolves it one way or the other. Therefore, it's time for you to appeal to the Supreme Court. If you go there Monday, we're not saying you don't have 90 days. If you want to take your 90 days, fine. But if you go Monday or by Monday, then we will continue the suspension in the district court. If you don't go by Monday, we're going to issue the mandate. Judge Chutkan can now start up proceedings again. And if you want to try to stop Judge Chutkan from starting up proceedings, tell your story to the Supreme Court and see if they'll suspend it. But we're not going to do that. So they've offered him a continued suspension in the district court, provided that he gets on with the appeal to the Supreme Court.
What I hear most clearly is the three-judge panel is organized and they know what they're doing. And they've anticipated the delaying tactic. And they have complete control of this case right now. They've offered Mr. Trump's attorneys a choice. It's us or Chutkan. That's their choice. They don't have a third choice.
That's right, John. The only thing I would add to that is the people who are criticizing the court should bear in mind that they didn't have to stay the proceedings or continue staying the proceedings in the district court. They could have just issued the mandate and said, we're not going to stay the proceedings, go to the Supreme Court and ask them to stay the proceedings. They didn't do that. They said, we will stay the proceedings, but if we're going to be reasonable, you have to be reasonable, which means get on with the appeal. Don't wait for 90 days.
The decision by the D.C. Court of Appeals, these three judges, this decision, is the only decision that matters right now, but the Supreme Court is a superior bench, I understand. I now ask an if question. I don't like to do that, Andy. Forgive me. If the Supreme Court refuses to hear or says, no, just we're not going to hear this, does that mean the decision is final with the three judges? No.
It does mean the immunity decision is final, John. But, you know, there's unfortunately, as this is such a complex set of facts, there's another moving part that we have to consider. And that is that while this would close the door on the immunity issue if the Supreme Court said no, to my mind, more important at this point than the immunity issue is the obstruction issue.
Right.
And the court has already, the Supreme Court has already agreed to hear a case on the obstruction statute that is key to Trump's case in connection with cases brought against January 6th defendants, which means the court is not going to rule on how that statute should be correctly interpreted by federal prosecutors until the end of June. So no matter what happens with the immunity case, I don't see how Judge Chutkan could move forward with the trial until we find out what the Supreme Court says about the obstruction statute.
You anticipated my question. Is it necessary for that answer to come forward to Judge Chutkan to begin the process, the apparatus? Is everything as frozen now with the obstruction as it is with immunity?
No. So the obstruction is not, the obstruction impacts Trump's case probably decisively, but ironically, it is not part of Trump's case. It's a different litigation involving other defendants who happen to have been charged with the same statute. So the Supreme Court is going to affect Trump's case mightily here, but only indirectly.
That means that Judge Chutkan, taking control, taking back the mandate, can develop all of the apparatus of a trial and await the Supreme Court if she chooses, or she could go ahead with the trial, and the verdict would eventually, in the years to come, would turn on the decision by the Supreme Court. The trial can go forward then, no matter the obstruction.
That's right, John. But what I would say is, this is why it's so much in Trump's interest to take the circuit up on its offer and appeal to the Supreme Court on Monday. Because as long as the Supreme Court now has a what's called a petition for certiorari, which is just basically we're asking the Supreme Court to hear our appeal. As long as that's in front of the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court hasn't yet acted on it, what the circuit has said is that Judge Chutkan will not be able to act on the case either. So it may, the Supreme Court could get that application from Trump on Monday and they could take a few days and then deny it, or they could take a few days and accept it, in which case, if the Supreme Court takes cert on this case, if it accepts Trump's immunity appeal, there's no way this case is going to trial prior to Election Day. But there's no timetable on which the Supreme Court is required to act on a petition for certiorari, so we could be waiting for a while.
Or they could turn it around in 24 hours the way they did in 1974.
Exactly right.
It's not complicated enough. We have to go to the Colorado case. Andrew McCarthy of National Review Online is here helping me, reminding me why I didn't go to law school and how wonderful it is to have Andy to ask questions. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.